Welcome to the MDS podcast, the official podcast of the International Parkinson's and Movement Disorder Society. I'm your host, Hugo Morales. In today's episode, we delve into chronic ataxias, a group of genetically diverse, often elusive disorders, posing a diagnostic challenge to many neurologists. As access to genetic testing varies globally, could artificial intelligence be the game changer? In this episode, we explore the development of the first AI-powered virtual assistant designed to support clinicians in diagnosing chronic ataxias, offering a promising step forward in regions with limited access to specialist care. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Lucas Alessandro and Marco Rossi, the first and senior authors of the paper Artificial Intelligence-Based Virtual Assistant for the Diagnostic Approach of Chronic Ataxias, published online in March 2025 in Movement Disorder Journal. Welcome, Lucas and Marco. Thank you for coming today. Now, I'm going to start with one question that is relevant, and I found this study very interesting. So can you walk us through the study's design and what was the project and objectives of this study?
Yes, of course. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share our work. First, it's important to understand that this project was inspired by a well-known issue. Rare disease are a big challenge in the medical practice. Neurology plays a central role in this condition, as neurological causes account for more than half of cases. Reaching a diagnosis is often a long and difficult process. It can take years and usually requires consultation with multiple specialists, and diagnosis errors are also common. So these factors are considered a strain on healthcare system, especially in low-resource countries like Argentina and other parts of Latin America. For several years, I have been developing artificial intelligence tools to support neurological diagnosis. I'm convinced that this kind of technology can help address many of the structural barriers we face in the region. We choose to begin with ataxia because they present to a strong opportunity to demonstrate how an AI tool can be designed and validated for a specific complex clinical challenge. In this case, helping clinicians make diagnosis decisions.
Yes, what Lucas is pointing out is extremely relevant in the ataxia field. Chronic ataxias are a complex group of over 300 diseases, most of them of genetic cause, and they have significant diagnostic challenges in our clinical practice because of the very high clinical and etiological heterogeneity. So we were wondering if artificial intelligence could help the neurologist, as we are, in the diagnostic approach of chronic ataxias, considering the large list of differential diagnoses and complementary studies available, including different genetic test methodologies, such as exome or genome sequencing, or tests to diagnose repeat expansion disorders. But currently, there is no single genetic method available in routine clinical practice that includes all genetic ataxias, requiring the repeat expansion detection methods for most of the common autosomal dominant cerebellar ataxias and exome sequencing for most of the autosomal recessive cerebellar ataxias. But access to genetic testing is not universal, and important barriers to access to genetic testing still exist in several regions. In addition, many regions of the world lack access to neurologist or specialist care of ataxias. So having a tool that helps in the diagnostic process of complex and diverse causes of ataxia could potentially improve diagnostic performance in such a setting. Considering these challenges, the aim of the study was to develop and validate the first AI-powered virtual assistant with the clinical purpose of assisting in the diagnostic process of chronic ataxias, and that could be used in commonly used messaging apps.
And then can you walk us through the study's design and what the project's aim and objectives?
Yes, so considering these challenges, The aim of the study was to develop and validate the first AI-powered virtual assistant with the clinical purpose of assisting in the diagnostic process of chronic ataxias by the use of a messaging app. To do this, we can divide our work in two steps or phases, the development and the validation phases. So first, to develop the virtual assistant tool, we created decision trees with more than 200 different question paths to guide users through a series of questions based on their answers and ending in one of 107 possible outcomes. The tool does not create new content. Instead, it answers questions by extracting information from a database. So we created a database for chronic ataxias with clinical information of these disorders that we obtained from medical sources like gene reviews, OMIM, Orphanet, and scientific articles. The database covers 151 diseases where ataxia is a major symptom. Second, to validate the virtual assistant, we selected 453 clinical cases from several publications. These cases had not been used when building the assistant database. From each case, we collected data of demographic and clinical features. This information was used to compare how well the virtual assistant performed in comparison to ChatGPT-4 and a group of 21 experienced neurologists from Argentina and other countries in Latin America. To simulate real patients, four medical students used the virtual assistant. So each student was given a random set of case summaries and answered the assistant's questions as if they were patients. The assistant then provided possible diagnosis. Meanwhile, ChatGPT-4 and the 21 neurologists were given the exact same clinical summaries and were asked to list possible differential diagnoses. Neurologists could use any books or resources they wanted, just not AI tools. The goal was to make this test as realistic as possible, mimicking how physicians or neurologists usually obtain clinical information from patients' interviews and exams.
Thank you, Marco, for detailing the study's design, which is very interesting. And moving to the results of your study, you found that the AI-powered virtual assistants outperform both experts, neurologists, and GPT-4 in diagnosing chronic ataxias. Can you help us to understand what made this assistant so accurate and even slightly better than GPT-4, a large language model?
Excellent question. Thank you very much for asking it. First, it's important to note that the comparison with GPT-4 was conducted in 2023. Since then, this type of technology has advanced significantly in a very short time. That said, the existing strong performance lies in its design. Unlike GPT-4, which is a generative model, our assistant is built on a structured decision tree architecture. It includes more than 200 predefined branches and about 100 terminal nodes. This structure enables the assistant to ask consistently relevant and well-organized questions based on specific clinical signs and symptoms. Because it's focused, restrict, and optimized for a single clinical area, in this case ataxia, it performs much more reliably than general proposed generative models like GPT-4 when used in a specific diagnosis context.
Yes, in fact, both groups of neurologists and GPT-4 produced over 100 incorrect diagnoses. Most of them were made by GPT-4, that also created 7 data hallucinations. This highlights the importance of using GPT-4 and other similar generative and non-validated AI tools with caution. We also have the need to verify the accuracy of these AI tools in routine clinical practice. In contrast, the virtual assistant that we developed and validated was specifically designed to provide differential diagnosis for chronic ataxias only, and it does not provide differential diagnosis for disorders not related with ataxias. As a result, it does not produce data hallucinations and is more predictable. So our virtual assistant is highly accurate because it provides a larger list of differential diagnoses in comparison to neurologists and GPT-4. But the instructions that neurologists and the prompt given to GPT-4 were clear that there was no limit on the number of diagnoses they could suggest. Even though most of the differential diagnoses provided by the virtual assistant, neurologist, or GPT-4 were incorrect, this situation of many incorrect diagnoses mirrors real-life clinical practice, where physicians often consider multiple possibilities, with none or most at most one being correct. So we are currently working on an improved version that will be more specific by providing a much limited list of differential diagnoses, and that will also incorporate data from complementary studies.
Thank you very much, Malco, Lucas, for giving us details about what made the virtual assistant so powerful and how we can understand how it's working. Now, can I ask you another question, which is important in terms of how we're going to use this technology? With the assistant delivering results within a few minutes on average, how do you envision this tool being integrated into clinical practice, especially in settings with limited access to movement disorder specialists? So what are your plans to bring this to the clinic?
That's a key question. I truly believe that technology is evolving at an incredible fast pace. If we look back, medical knowledge was initially passed down almost entirely through the oral teaching of mentors. Later, it began to spread through traditional medical textbooks and more recently through scientific articles. Just a few years ago, access to information started to rely heavily on search engines and large medical databases. Today, without a doubt, artificial intelligence is emerging as the major tool to support clinical decision-making. It's very likely that once the necessary validation processes are complete, this technology will be used in real time as a regular and reliable part of everyday medical practice.
I would like to add that incorporating AI-based tools into movement disorders clinics can expand the range of differential diagnosis in patients with complex phenotypes, especially given that phenotype-genotype correlations in neurology are often nonlinear. But it is very important that clinicians use AI tools such as our virtual assistant or language models like GPT-4 as support and guidance rather than replacements for clinical judgment. I think that caution is warranted when using tools like GPT-4 for diagnostic purposes because of some key limitations. For example, there is a lack of clear scientific rationale for some suggested diagnoses. There can be potential data hallucinations, and generative AI-based tools are not consistent over time. These issues may be addressed by means of improved tools such as our validated virtual assistant, which provides evidence-based differential diagnosis and relevant literature for each case. So regarding your question on the role of the virtual assistant in settings with limited access to specialists, our virtual assistant has particular utility in regions with limited access to specialists or without genetic diagnostic testing possibilities. So by narrowing the differential diagnosis, it supports a sequential, cost-effective testing strategy, especially for repeat expansion disorders. This approach helps clinicians give priority which conditions to test for first, especially in resource-limited settings. Another point that I would like to comment on is that we followed a development and validation process for a virtual assistant that is scalable to other diseases. We think that similar AI-based tools could be designed for other neurological or systemic diseases. Also, we would like to make clear again that our virtual assistant is not intended to replace genetic testing or specialist evaluation. It's just as supportive tool designed to guide the clinical diagnostic process, especially the selection of ancillary tests, and to complement but not to replace the expertise of neurologists and movement disorders specialists. So in summary, we developed and validated a fast, user-friendly, and highly accurate AI-based virtual assistant that supports the diagnostic evaluation of chronic ataxias, especially in settings with limited access to specialist or genetic testing.
An amazing amount of work you guys have done just amalgamating the literature and developing this algorithm and astutely using AI to understand how can clinicians diagnose chronic ataxias better. That's very interesting. That concludes our episode. And thank you, Lucas and Malco, for giving your insights on the promising value of AI in assisting clinicians in the diagnosis of chronic ataxias. Now, stay tuned for our next episode, where we will continue exploring the latest advancements in movement disorders. Until then, stay curious and keep learning.
If you enjoyed the conversation about this paper, you can further your experience with continuing medical credits, or CMEs. You can find the link to the journal CME course for this paper within the episode description on the MDS website. Journal CME is planned and implemented in accordance with the accreditation requirements of the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education, ACCME. The International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society is accredited by the ACCME to provide a continuing medical education for physicians. The International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society designates this education activity for a maximum of 1 AMA PRA Category 1 credits. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society or their affiliated journals, Movement Disorders, and Movement Disorders Clinical Practice. Any disclosures of the participants can be found within the episode description located on the MDS website.